Dana and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
This is Happy Hour, and welcome back again with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci.
The G is silent, Frankenberry.
My bad.
Frankenberry.
That's right. The G is silent. Jonna Spilbore, Carol Pesci. This is Happy Hour. We are back again on this Sunday of the 17th, and wow.
Oh, my gosh.
It's Christmas week.
You ready?
Did you guys start your Christmas shopping yet?
I've started, but it would be a miracle if I was ever fully ready on time. One year, I was literally wrapping presents upstairs as my family was arriving downstairs.
Can I have a confession.
All right.
I love Christmas.
I know you do, but you didn't say it like you mean it, because that did not sound like you meant it.
I love Christmas!
That still didn't sound like it. That was just being louder.
You want to know what I absolutely, positively hate, have never liked it, never will?
About Christmas?
Yep.
Christmas cards. Writing them out. Sending them out.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't do that.
I know.
Okay, but that wasn't it. Something else.
You love buying for people.
I do. You just kind of mentioned it.
Company?
I love entertaining. I love company. I cannot stand wrapping gifts. I get no pleasure from it. I do not like it. I am not good at it. And therefore, it kind of ruins a little bit of Christmas for me.
So, when you have no choice about the things that you have to do in life, it's up to us to figure out a way. If we're forced to do it, we have to do it, don't have a choice, to ask the question, well, how can I make this as enjoyable as possible?
Oh, I know the answer. Have someone
alcohol.
Else do it.
Exactly.
So here...
You've got neighbors, with kids.
No, you just got to invite your friends, hello, over.
No.
Order a pizza, open up a bottle of wine, and we'll help you wrap. Frankenberry, you would help, right? Maybe beer, not wine.
Yeah, I would help. I wouldn't be any good at it, but I would help.
And we would be laughing.
That is all true. But I am such a control freak. But you know what it is? No. You know what? Let me scratch. I am a control freak. Separate thought. Here's why I don't like that idea. Because to me, asking friends to come over to help me rap, since I've got such a bad taste in my mouth about it, is the equivalent of asking my friends to help me move. And I will never do that.
But your friends love you, and your friends would be happy to help you. It wouldn't be like work. It would be like a party where we're keeping our fingers occupied with scissors and tape.
And you have to remember, there is a quid pro quo when it comes to friends. I mean, you know, when it comes to, say, moving, which I just did.
Mm-hmm.
I know that if I've got friends in the future, I am going to help them. I mean, you know, somebody would need assistance. I mean, yeah, it's something that we all dread asking. It's something that we all dread saying yes
and
to. It's part of the gig.
And Bill Bohr's always the first one to step up and help everybody else. Hello.
Me.
And if you're offering wine and you're offering beer and possibly some pizza, well, now it's turned into a party.
It is a party.
That's my daily life.
See,
beer, wine, and pizza.
Okay.
But then what if one of my friends asks me to help them rap?
Then you do it.
So you put a list of contingencies. You are invited to this rapping party.
However,
under the following conditions.
I am not required to return the favor.
Can I tell you, though, you know what I did do? I had to do this, and maybe it's a construct or, I don't know, an extension of the fact that I now binge watch TV. Because, you know, Netflix, Amazon, you can't help but binge watch TV. I binge shopped last week. And got 90% of it done.
Online, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Is there any other way?
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Jonna in a store is like Jonna in a grocery store or Jonna wearing flannel pajamas.
Twitch.
You don't like flannel pajamas? What's wrong with flannel pajamas?
I'm having a twitch. Okay, what? Yes, you're right.
Yes, online. Well, you know, the good part about doing it really quickly is you remember what you got for everybody. So I've been buying slowly, and now I'm like, did I get something for... How many things do I have for this person? I got to go back and do an inventory.
I'll tell you what. Here's a little tip for those of you procrastinators who maybe still have a great deal of shopping to do. Because I beg to differ. Even though I binge shop, I don't really remember what I got because it's like fast and furious. And I'm going to go, who's getting this and who's getting that? I now use my Notes app, which has a handy little check mark. So I'll write a list. And every time I buy something, I'll put it next to the person's name. And when I'm done, boom, I put the check mark and I move on. And then I could go back and see. And you know what's really smart? I will know next year what I got people this year.
Did you just call yourself smart?
I think I did. So smart. No,
it's not even
it's not a matter of being smart. It's a matter of I know now that I can only store a certain amount of things in my brain, and I need help. So I now have to store stuff outside of my brain.
It's
so I store my
phone outlet.
Yes,
and that's your app.
It's kind of like an external drive.
Yes.
When you have filled everything up.
Yes.
Okay.
Precisely, and I love it because once I store it in my external hard drive, I don't have to worry about it anymore. Mm-hmm. As long as I don't lose my phone. But no, but that app goes with you wherever. It goes from my computer to my phone, so I'm loving it.
You know what is a great app, anybody listening? If you need to keep track of stuff, it's groceries or a project you got going on or your Christmas list, I use an app, and I'm almost positive it's free, called Wunderlist. And you can create categories of lists. And I use it, so I have a grocery list going, this house I'm renovating, I have that address in there. It's like, oh yeah, I need to get this for it. And you put them in the list under that category. And then when you like walking down the grocery store, it's like, oh, got lettuce, boom, check it off. And then the list keeps getting smaller and smaller. It's like, oh, I only have three things left. Wunderlist, it's awesome.
You turned me on to that app a year or two ago.
Do you use it?
And I just couldn't make it happen.
Oh, I love it.
I don't know why.
I use it every day.
So, like, my lists, I need lists that are like me, like, not overly organized, a little disheveled, but reliable. That's what I need. That's what I use.
I have a list, too, for things I want to remember, I want to talk about on the radio show. Like, something's funny, and it strikes me,
but yeah, we're
not, you know, going to be on for another few days, and I'll put it on that list.
I do that, too.
Wunderlist.
Speaking of, because you just reminded me when you were talking about your grocery list, because I bought a fancy, very fancy, new refrigerator that will be here the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas to you. From you.
So is this a fridge that can talk to your toilet? Is it going to be as fancy as that?
The fridge talks to my toilet. They communicate. It's got a TV in it. And
of course
then,
it does.
And then it can like give you lists of what you need and stuff like that. And which is, listen, I totally purchased beyond my needs because I only need a refrigerator for
mustard, Corona, white wine.
And champagne. Right, how did you forget that?
Right,
that's all. So my refrigerator is essentially a very large, expensive cooler. You know, the kind that you would take to the beach.
But if it does have food in it, like say, for instance, you've got Mexican food in there, will your fridge give your toilet the heads up?
I am certain I can program it to do that.
She just pulled out the pizza that had everything on it. She's going to be visiting you soon.
Nope, not doing it.
How dare you?
Not even going to get that.
But that's a nice segue, because I have a question for you guys that I want to. So, you know, you're undergoing a house reno for your project, which in your house, that house looks, it's not your house, it's a house you're going to be renting.
Right.
Which looks gorgeous. I'm undergoing a kitchen reno recently, a bathroom reno. I have a question for you guys. When you have a worker in your home or workers, is it appropriate for them to ask to use the bathroom?
Yes.
Of course it is.
Let me add a fact.
Oh.
Let's suppose.
Add a little detail.
Let's suppose. All right. Now, I completely get. If you got workers there all day doing a renovation, of course they're going to have to use it. But don't even ask. Just go. Just use it. My bathroom as Sue bathroom, right? That's what you do.
Unless, of course, whatever facts are about to unfold here exist.
Okay. But let's hypothetically say you have a person who is going to be in your house doing one task and one task only that is going to take under 30 minutes, and it's, you know, scheduled appointment, and he's going to be there under 30 minutes, and add to that fact that he's mean to you when you try to talk to him. Now, with those two facts, when that person says, "Can I use your bathroom?" What do you say?
All right. Well, first off, you've already told us that he's inclined to be mean to you. So, look, you're not going to say no.
I said hypothetically.
You're never going to say no. How would you look at anybody that's in your house?
I would never say no.
You can't. Seriously.
I would never say no. You can't use my bathroom, you meanie.
Right. You can't.
But I would do something passive aggressive like, is everything okay? Is your
like
stomach all right?
Like give the old judgy look?
Yeah. Like, is there something I should know about? Are you going number one or number two?
Why was he mean to you? And did you go in and collect your toothbrush before he used the bathroom?
See, okay, so he was mean to me because he obviously was a mean person. And what I said to him was, so he came in, he had to measure something. That's all he had to do. And so I came in. So he came in, and he wasn't very friendly when he came in. Okay, that's fine. Long day, whatever. It was at the end of the day. And so we're both in my kitchen, and I'm standing there like a dope, and he's doing his thing. And so I finally say to him, I go, I don't need to stand over your shoulder. You don't need me, right? And if you do, I'll be right in the other room. So you're cool with that, okay? And he turns around.
Oh, no.
He turns around, and he goes, are you talking to me?
What? Please don't exaggerate. Are you being...
Do I ever...
Frank Berry.
He said...
Hey, I'm not going there.
So now I go... So now I'm like a little taken aback, because I go, and I look around passive aggressively, and I go, is there anybody else here? And he goes, no, you can, you don't have to stand here. Oh, good. Then, 10 minutes later, can I use your bathroom? I was still seething a little bit. Frankenberry.
I'm sorry.
Did you hire him directly, or is he a sub of somebody else?
He's a sub of somebody else.
Look, Jonna, you have been on edge this entire time that you've been doing
this. Renovations in your home are stressful.
Yeah, and I'm going to take all of this through that prism, through that slightly Jonna-colored glasses, and just say his response may not have been quite as edgy as you're leading us to believe
right
now.
Oh, you think I filtered it?
Embellished a little?
Yes, you're ready to jump on anybody right now because this has taken far longer than you would have expected, and you wanted it to be done well before Christmas, and it's not even close.
Did you go get your toothbrush?
No. Now, for the record, my toothbrush is covered at all times unless it's in my mouth.
Okay.
Which then it is covered.
I'm surprised by that. All right. You're fine.
Right. I just thought that was a little... I just thought it was a little weird.
Well, you never know. He might have had a long day. He might not have had an opportunity to stop anywhere.
Stops,
he was making sure to get to your house on time because he had an appointment.
Oh, no, he was a little rushed and harried, and I completely understand that. But isn't there like an etiquette? I remember, you know, there have been quite a few times in my life, like when I was shopping for a house, for example, and you'd go to house after house after house, and sometimes you'd have to tinkle. But there's an etiquette that you know that you are even not allowed to ask because it just wouldn't be cool. So you hold it until you go someplace else.
So you just hold it until you get to the next house where the same etiquette kicks in. And by the time you're done, you're looking at a pair of Depends to be able to get through the day.
And listen to me. I'm not... Anybody can use my bath. It's not like I'm a bathroom snob. It's the etiquette thing. Hmm. No?
But
yes.
Are you making up an etiquette?
No,
I mean, because I can understand. There's an etiquette, like, for instance, if I'm in somebody's house, if I'm at a party, I am not going to actually
do not
use
change the dial.
Bathroom.
If you go to a party, of course you're going to use the bathroom.
No, but what I'm saying, but even if I'm just in some, it's just me, I'm visiting. If I need to use the bathroom, fine. I'm not going to use the bathroom. I never would do that. But if I've got to pee, I got to pee. And I don't think anybody should mind that. That's what a bathroom is for.
That... When you're going to socially to a friend's or family's house, that goes without say. I'm talking about if you're in a stranger's house or a stranger is in
your
house.
And you're not going to be there very long.
And you're not going to be there very long. Is it etiquette or an unspoken code that you do the pee-pee dance until you can get to a Starbucks?
All right. Here's your next book, Potty Code. I'm writing it down.
I'm going to say no.
It's perfectly okay?
I'm saying it's perfectly okay because if you are inviting somebody into your house, even if it is a worker, you're still inviting them into your home to help you do something.
Mm-hmm.
The bathroom is the bathroom. If somebody needs to pee, they need to pee.
And I'm going to say...
That's just you being a good host.
That he really had to go for whatever reason.
Right. If you said he was hurried, it's the end of his day, he probably was just running.
No. You know what I figure? I figure he had a long drive and I was probably the last stop.
Yes.
Correct.
And And I completely get that. But it made me think about all those times where I had to go when I was searching for a house or what have you, and you just can't. Maybe it's me. Maybe that's me. Because you know what else I don't do? You know what? Now you just raised something else. If I'm
by saying nothing, you just raised something else.
I know.
Else.
I'm good at this.
She's having a whole conversation going on inside her
head. This is also one of the reasons I'm single, by the way.
Right?
Because this happened to me all the time.
The question would be asked, so you said nothing, and then the
I said nothing. Boom. There's still stuff going on.
So what else did he raise by saying nothing?
He raised this. I am one of those people where if I go to a show, for example, I always buy tickets, the seats, at the end, because if I have to use the restroom, I don't want to have to disturb everybody in that row and climb over them to get
right.
to where I'm going.
To do that Bugs Bunny thing, excuse me.
Exactly. So I won't do that. So if I am if I happen to be in the middle of a row like that at an event, a show or what have you, and I got to go, I will hold it until my back teeth are floating because I don't want to interrupt anybody because I have to pee.
I will agree with you there. I will make sure that I go ahead of time. If that is the case.
Bottom line, you just need to be considerate.
Oh, you just summed it all up, did you? Okay.
Well, you know
well,
what?
That solves that.
I figured that we have dragged this out quite long enough for a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
We have a really cool guest coming up we want to get to.
Yes, we do.
And it kind of ties into your experience. It's about setting boundaries.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you're like, wait a minute, this might be... I'm not comfortable with this guy using my restroom. I just set a boundary here. So coming up, we have our good friend Anne Quinn. She is going to come talk to us about setting boundaries. And I think you have an interesting story that you'll share when we come back as to why this topic came up. And this is about, you know, many people, I'm one of them, are people pleasers. You don't want to say anything. Mm-hmm. You just always want to agree. And then you end up stressed or unhappy, and she's going to talk to us about better ways to set boundaries that are good for everybody.
Without guilt.
Without guilt.
Without, yeah.
All right, well, that is on the way, and I just want to let you guys know, by the way, that recently Netflix, to have a little bit of fun with some of their Netflix customers, recently tweeted out to the 53 people who have watched A Christmas Prince every day for the past 18 days, who hurt you? A Netflix made-for-TV holiday movie called
They've
Christmas Prince.
They tweeted that out?
They tweeted that out that apparently 53 people have watched it every single day. Since it debuted. All right. So that's 53 people who are having a very sad holiday.
9 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we will be back with more Happy Hour, and we are going to find out about how to set guilt-free boundaries. This is K104.
Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jenna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here on this Christmas week as we lead up to
Getting
it.
To
and you
it.
Know what? We just had Jenna talking about a story of setting boundaries.
Yes.
And we are going to find out, courtesy of Anne, our guest today, how to set boundaries and do it guilt-free.
Yes, so Anne has been on our show before. We love her very much. She's a beautiful human being.
Thank you, girls. You doll.
She is a metaphysician. She runs retreats for women. She often has them up at the beautiful Mohonk Mountain House. She's got one coming up in January. So when we wrap up this interview, we will make sure people know how to follow you on Facebook and learn more. And the name of her business, which I love, is Creating a Life You Love to Live.
Exactly.
So, Jenna, what you want to share? There was a reason we brought this topic up.
Okay. All right, and I want to tell you exactly what happened because
hi, Jenna, sweetheart.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Your ears should have been burning a few days ago. Here's what happened. Okay, this is a real life scenario. So, I was on a treadmill exercising on a Saturday morning, early. And all of a sudden, a client of mine started texting me a lot. And I know, you know, and I really like this client. I really appreciate this client. But it was a Saturday morning, and it was not an emergency. It was not an emergency. It was, you know, kind of just the client was just spewing something that was bothering the client, right? So instead of normally what I do is I'll start answering any time of the day or night, no matter what I'm doing, and then I get mad about it. So this time what I did is I stopped what I was doing on the treadmill, and I just sent a text back, and I validated all of the client's concerns. I said, all of your concerns are very valid, and we will discuss them all. However, not right now.
Exactly.
It's Saturday. I'm on a treadmill. Let's pick this back up on Monday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Now, the
good for you.
Thank you. Except the second I hit send, I immediately felt guilty for not addressing all of the client's concerns in that very minute. So what do I do? I bash Carol's boundaries. And I texted her at the same time and said, oh my God, we need to talk to somebody because I just did this and now I set a boundary and now I feel guilty about it. And who can we talk to? And she immediately texts back, and Quinn. And I'm like, oh my God, we got to get her back on the show. That is what happened to me. And I'm going to tell you something right now, Ann. I still feel guilty. And this was, you know, a little over a week ago. What am I doing wrong?
Okay, well, that is just a perfect story, Jonna. And actually, you handled it perfectly. I would also enhance this a little bit because boundaried people are happy people.
Ah.
And boundaried people are successful people. And the thing is, because boundaries are there, they are our friend. Boundaries are our friend. They help us not to be manipulated. They keep us from being abused and used and played by other people. There are physical boundaries, emotional boundaries, spiritual boundaries, social boundaries. And people that have healthy boundaries in place live a much less stressful life and have better relationships. Yeah.
That makes complete sense when you say it in theory. And I also think when you can get yourself to a point to set guilt-free boundaries, you are actually communicating to yourself a sign of respect to yourself, aren't you, Ann?
110%. And the thing is, Jonna, you were 100% correct. I know how hard you work. I know what kind of a work ethic you have. And Saturday morning was your time. You're at the gym. Mm-hmm. You're on the treadmill. You're minding your own business.
Right.
This is extremely inappropriate.
But I knew in my heart of hearts, Ann, I know what this person's going through, and I know it's very difficult. You know, whether it's whether it's your girlfriend who's going through a breakup or your mother who's got an issue or a client who's got an issue, I always want to be there. But I finally realized that when if I'm there too much, I start sucking like at pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Because you might, can you talk to our listeners really quickly? Because I got to tell you, I didn't even know what a boundary was until probably when I met Carol, and not because like we set boundaries, but I didn't even know what it meant. Why I would get bothered so much? I didn't know what that was until I started hanging out with cool people like Curly Pesky over there.
Well, the thing is with that, Jonna, I heard you tell us that, you know, I love to be there for people and I try to be there whenever I can. The problem is, in many cases, you end up not there for Jonna.
Oh.
Oh, you just gave me goosebumps.
You're there for everybody in the world except Jonna. And the anger often that we feel is at ourselves.
I would agree with that.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
And thus you become more ineffective at helping these people.
Right.
Because you haven't set your own boundaries.
110%. You're correct.
But I think people like me, and I'm sure I am not alone here, but by feeling guilty if you do set a boundary, kind of, I mean, I know I just grew up never saying no. Like, you know, whether it was go clean your room or, you know, to whatever it was, you just had to be available. And then I finally reached a point where I'm like, dang. And I mean, I need to be available for me sometimes. Like, I really enjoy a half an hour on the treadmill, and I don't want to be bothered during it, but I don't shut off my phone, so I'm kind of partly to blame here, aren't I?
Yes. Yes. And always, you know, always what I say to myself when I have any kind of, you know, glitchy moment, as you did, Jonna, like, you know, feeling guilty and icky, and there you are, and is what part of this did I create? What part of this belongs to me? Now, sometimes the answer is the other person was 90% a jerk and an idiot, but the 10% is the part of me that plugged in. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's always, always a two-part story. Yes, she texted you, and then what happened? Probably, if I had to guess, your history is that you taught her with your behavior that that's okay.
Yep. Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner.
Ding, 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 yes. So, you know, this time she's doing what she's always done. and you change the rules in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
And so she's like, what? I always do this. And you're feeling guilty.
Yes.
So I think that what you need to do, or what any of us needs to do, is to make ourselves number one on our own to-do list, especially at this time of year, because you can only care for other people to the degree to which you're caring for yourself.
So true.
Oh, my. That is. And I like that you brought up that I created this, because the one thing that I will say, I did, but I will say that I, oftentimes, if somebody bashes my boundaries, I don't even think, Anne, that they're doing it intentionally. Like, they're not trying to be a jerk.
Right.
They're not. Sometimes I think people will bash a boundary, not even realizing that they're doing it. Mom.
But, hey, different rules, Mom.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Completely different rules.
Right.
Yeah, but you see, your interest or my interest or Carol's interest is not whether or not they meant it.
Mm-hmm.
My interest is whether or not I'm interrupted.
True.
Right. So I guess what it comes down to then is, you know, as you move forward, is you start thinking about where the boundaries could be tested further down the road. So you start it now. So,
right.
with a brand new client, you don't tell that brand new client, hey, listen, text me anytime if you have some issues. No, you tell them, you know, hey,
if you
give
have an
them
emergency, you text me
right.
anytime.
But otherwise, it's during business hours. And so you start from the get-go so they don't have the impression that they can text you on a Saturday morning and everything is going to be okay. She may not have had any clue, or he may not have.
And that's very true. And that's why, one of the reasons why I felt guilty, because, you know, I don't think, they probably said, she's available 24/7. It doesn't matter. I don't know that she's on the treadmill.
I don't think you could have handled it more perfectly. I think how you you did. You just you validated. I understand. I hear you. We'll address this on Monday.
And I'll tell you this, Anne, too. This particular client, I know I've had different reactions in the past. This particular client was like, okay, great. Have a great weekend.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So
right.
I'm feeling guilty, but the client's like, I gotcha. No problem.
Right.
So the big picture is, when we set boundaries, we're being more respectful to ourselves. We're going to be ultimately, in the long run, happier. So the big picture, do you have any practical tips on how to start doing that? Say somebody's listening now, like, my God, I'm a total people pleaser. I can totally relate. How do they begin setting those so that they don't turn into like a biatch overnight to everybody around them?
What a good question. You're a smarty pants. All right.
Go on.
The thing is, now get this, girls. We should do this in needlepoint and hang it above our beds. People pleasing does not please people.
I'm writing that down.
It's got to please someone, no?
And there you have it. People pleasing does not please people. And the thing is, with establishing boundaries, it has a great deal to do with prioritizing. Let me just tell you some of my own. I never, underscore never, answer the phone or even look at it during dinner. And neither does Rich. Why? Because he is more important than whoever is on the other end of that phone to me.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
I like that a
lot. During my programs, during my workshops, I have only one rule. You know what that rule is?
No phones?
No phones. And they're shut off. So I don't mean on annoying vibrate.
Oh.
Or let's just, you know, out of one eye to check a text.
Right.
No, they're off. Out of respect to me.
Right.
And the other people who are involved, who are speaking, sharing their experiences. You know what I mean? It's horribly disrespectful. So I think one of the ways we can begin to set boundaries is with ourselves, with our technology.
Yes.
With yourself. You don't even need another person to start setting boundaries. With yourself, with your technology.
You want, that's the smartest thing I think I've ever heard. No, seriously, because you made me think of all the times that I've been across the dinner table from a boyfriend or even a friend who's got their face buried in a phone. And I've been one of those people. And, you know, I think we have to say to ourselves, nothing is more important than what I am doing
right now
when I'm with someone else.
Right. Exactly. 100%.
So is that, and when you run these workshops, mm-hmm. and specifically on the topic we're talking about, which is setting boundaries, is one of the first processes you take people through to start identifying what's important to them so they can then build boundaries to support those things?
Absolutely. And you know what, you two, if you recall, I invited you as my guest to my class on boundaries at the center.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
and I'll be teaching it again.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's exactly right. Because, you see, your priorities are the people, places, and things that matter. Mm. And then the rest, you know, the rest is kind of fluff.
And, you know, I think, too, that that's so important to do that. I think if you don't really identify what really is important to you,
right.
you're going to fill your life up with everything.
Then nothing's important
exactly.
to you.
Exactly.
That's what right. women are doing every day, mm-hmm. all the time. And I'll tell you this one thing with boundaries. It is much more of a women's issue mm-hmm. than it is men. Men have a very, very easy time with boundaries. Women, not so much. And the reason for this is women, all right, this goes in needlepoint also, women give themselves away all the time. I'll bake, I'll drive, I'll take your shift, I'll have the baby shower. You know, we just keep throwing our energy at everyone and everything until we're laying in this depleted puddle on the
yes,
floor wondering
yes,
why.
Yes.
That's what you, depletion is the absolute worst. But how would you counsel a person who the reason why they are afraid to set boundaries is they don't want to be unliked. They don't want to be considered
right.
undependable. They don't want to be the
right.
person that everyone's talking behind her back.
Right. Well, here's the interesting thing, another one of these ironies. People that have really good, solid, healthy boundaries are people who are trustworthy. They're people
oh.
that you rely upon. Like, you'll think of different people you know that are never late. They do what they say they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you think about how you trust them. You trust their word. They tell the truth. They mean what they say. They say what they mean, but they don't say it mean.
Mm-hmm.
And those are people that are trustworthy and emotionally reliable.
And those are the people that you know inherently, because they've already set the boundary by being trustworthy, that you don't take advantage of them.
You don't. No, because they won't let you.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. They won't let you.
So eventually you're saying if you're good at setting boundaries, you can actually train the people around you not to even try to bash them. Is that, or am I being...
100%. And actually... What, you know, my sense is with the person you were talking about on the treadmill,
mm-hmm.
she was so delightful and lovely in part because she heard that you meant it.
Ah.
She heard in your voice.
I hear
I'm
you.
Not kidding.
Yeah.
I'm exercising. It's Saturday morning. Really? And in your sweet, lovely way, you were very polite, Jonna, as you would be, but she heard it loud and clear.
And to her credit.
Yeah, and to her credit for sure. And that's why she handled it so beautifully on her end. So what happens is you're teaching people, in other words, the only way we ever teach anybody anything is by power of example. People don't listen to what you say. They watch mm. what you do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now that's got to get embroidered. What? Needle-pointed. Wait, can
that
you...
changed my whole life
no,
when
I'm...
I heard that.
Can you please say it again? Because I want to remember it
yes,
for real.
Yes, I heard that about 30 years ago, and I was never the same since. People don't listen to what you say, blah, blah, story, story, story. They watch what you do.
Yes.
Your behavior tells a person everything.
Yes.
Oh,
so much
right.
more that you can count on as far as communication by what somebody actually
you know,
does.
Well, actions speak louder than
yeah,
words.
Yeah, that's
there
it. That's another way
example,
to say it.
So.
Better way to
oh
say it.
Oh, my gosh.
It.
I know. And you have a tight schedule today. Are there any, I want to make sure people know how to find you or follow you or keep in the loop so that when you have some of your future workshops that they can.
That we don't miss
yes,
them.
Yes, yes. Well, I have a couple coming up. I have a retreat at Mohonk Mountain House, the one and only beautiful Mohonk Mountain House, this January. 5th, 6th, 7th, mm-hmm. loving your life as a work of art. And life is art. It's about living it in color. Isn't that great?
Love it now.
Yeah. And that's going to be at Mohonk. And then I have a wonderful retreat in Ocean Grove, New Jersey in March on excavating our heart's desires.
Fantastic.
The desires of our hearts.
Do you have a mailing list or should people find you on Facebook? What's
they
the best way?
They can find me on Facebook.
Okay.
I have my business page is Anna Liz, A-N-N-E-L-I-Z. And my daily blog is Anna Lizms. Just add an MS onto the end of that. Yep.
Love it.
And Jonna, you did really, really, really well. And what you had, I think, a little guilt or uncertainty about is because you're changing your behavior, which always feels a little, you know, sketchy when you first start to do it. But just remember that boundaried people have much better relationships.
Well, then that's a good start.
There you go. You get rid of all the minutiae and the caca goes.
And any final thoughts that you want to make sure our listeners get out of this discussion before we go, or do you think we've covered
well,
it?
Yeah, the coming season is like boundaries squared, you know? And I always say, did you ever wonder why so many people get sick at Christmas time? Really, because it's just, yeah, they just drop like flies because it's just too much.
It can be.
Right. Shoulds, yeah. Ought to, musts, have to. So just sift through that and think about what really do I want to do?
And yeah, I would encourage people to try to set boundaries. It does feel a little weird, which, like you said, which is why I was suffering from guilt.
Right.
But once you do it, you actually
and
feel
then you,
better.
And then you invaded my Saturday.
And then I did that. I did do that.
You can invade my life anytime. It's all good.
Well, you know what it is you're exercising, as you were on the treadmill, you're exercising your emotional muscles.
Yes.
And so the first time you do it, yeah, it's going to hurt. And the second, but then it gets easier and you get in shape. You get in emotional shape.
Get my
Sounds
six
fantastic.
Pack emotions on.
There you go.
There you go.
And Quinn, she is the owner of Creating a Life You Love to Live. You can find her on Facebook. Her business page is Annie Liz, A-N-N-E-L-I-Z. Her blog is Annalisms. And Quinn, we love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, girls. You're so adorable. I can't even stand it. And Jonna, you did very, very well. Keep it up. Go, team, go. Okay. Bye,
thank
everybody.
You,
thanks,
you.
Ann. Take care.
Bye.
She's fantastic. She always has great advice. She's so warm.
And
her little one-liners, too, that are like, oh, my gosh, that kind of sums up my whole life.
I know.
In one needlepoint.
We do need to go to one of her retreats.
I know. She's so good.
Yeah,
all
you
right.
could definitely hear that in her voice, by the way.
Her sincerity.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. She has not forgotten that you blew her off.
I'm just
giving you the heads up.
We'll make it up,
okay.
too.
No, she knows we love her.
Yes.
All right. We've got more on the way with Happy Hour, so just stick with us. We're coming right back. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
You are listening to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna and Carol. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
And we are back from a very cool interview on setting boundaries with Ann Quinn, and a good time of year, actually, to be thinking about when it comes to boundaries. Because like she said, a lot of folks get sick around this time of year, and I think what it is the stress of some of the people that you are knowing that you're going to have to hang out with when it comes to family and friends
or
and all the events that you have to go to or entertain.
And the additional things you need to get done, the traditional things that we do at the holiday time. So you have your normal busy life and then you add a whole bunch of things on top of that. And I think one of the things she said that's really important with that situation or any boundaries in life is really you really need to get in touch with what's most important to you and then make decisions around that. You know, it's just too much.
Well, I have a confession to make too, because I got to admit, I was boundary stupid. Like, I really didn't even know what a boundary was. I was just always wondering why I was continually, you know, angry at stuff and bitter.
I can see how not setting them ever could bring you to that. Like, you start
resenting.
And I think
it can. And so if somebody's listening and you are, if you feel pulled in a lot, I mean, here are some of the symptoms of having no boundaries, right? Are you pulled in several different directions? Do you easily get angry, you know, at the drop of a hat? Are you moody? Bloated? need to drink wine before 10 a.m.? Mm-hmm. Then you too might have some boundary issues. So I'm glad that she talked to me, because I really did. This was not an exaggeration. I felt very guilty when I set this particular boundary. So I did a little research and I found a helpful article entitled How to Set Boundaries Without Being Mean. Because I think one of the reasons, 7 ways to set boundaries without being mean. I think sometimes the reason why we don't set them is we're considerate. We don't want to hurt other people's feelings. We don't want to give anybody the wrong impression that we don't like them.
Correct.
But we do need to take time for ourselves and set those boundaries. So quite simply, the first on this list of 7 is simply start saying no. And it says here, to change your ways, you must always start small and pick something small to say no to. So
that makes total sense to me.
I don't know what
it's like.
You
got to practice it.
Yeah, you have to practice. So you start with the little things. Like maybe you say, no, I can't drive the carpool this week or something. You know, something that is not earth-shattering. The second one is trust your body instinct. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, your mind, this is really the essence of boundaries to me, because when you don't have them, you stop feeling good. You know, you don't feel happy. You don't feel well-adjusted. You feel anxious. So your mind and body work very closely together to keep you functioning, and you have to trust what it has to say. So if you're feeling uncomfortable, if somebody asks you to do something and you're feeling uncomfortable about it, it makes you feel weighty, say no.
Or exhausted or depleted.
Yep.
Or and I think here's another clue that you might have issues setting boundaries is if you feel the people around you and the people closest to you don't care about your happiness or peace of mind.
Mm. Yes.
If you feel like, I'm always taking care of everybody else and nobody's... That begins with you,
right?
Starting to realize, and this is one of the things I say to people all the time, we think, and primarily women, think we are our best selves, sisters, mothers, daughters, friends, when we drop everything for everybody else. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, when we treat ourselves better, we are better equipped to do for people around us.
100%. I don't think that whole, like what you just reminded me of was the whole martyr syndrome. Like when you say yes too much and you don't want to, but you do it anyway, you get resentful of the person who asked you, and you get resentful of yourself. And then it turns into this self-fulfilling martyr syndrome where, oh, I'm always doing everything for everybody.
Yes. And if you start making the things that that you enjoy or that you prefer doing a higher priority via saying no to other things, you are communicating to that other to other people around you that my happiness, my peace of mind, these things that I enjoy are important to me. They will then begin respecting and paying attention more to what's important to you. And if, small example for a mom, and they're probably the most difficult, especially a single mom, probably the most difficult ones to do this. But I think when you communicate to your child, no, this is my time. You know, granted, not if they're two, but you know, say they're 7 or 8 years old and they're watching a movie, watching cartoons or something. You're like, I'm going to take a bath for 30 minutes. Don't bother me unless it's urgent. You need something. This is my time. I'm going to go relax. You are teaching your child to make the things that are important to them important and setting their own boundaries by doing it. It's just what Anne said. Mm-hmm. People don't hear what you say. They watch what you do.
Yeah. And I think a lot of moms probably have a difficult time with that until they try it on for size and they realize that it ain't so bad. The third thing is, this is a big one. Let go of what people will think. If you're going to set boundaries, right, it can't be about, oh, is somebody going to hate me? Is somebody not going to like me? Are they going to talk behind my back? It really is about keeping your space and your personal space and enough time to do what you need and want to do. So you can't worry about. And I think I was reading a different article when I was researching today, and it said that oftentimes the people who get mad at you for setting a boundary are, quote, narcissists. And if that's true, and it could be true, if that's true, then you shouldn't care if a narcissist gets mad at you, because narcissism is not a fantastic quality to have.
Right.
In my opinion.
And I also think when you do set boundaries, there's a way to do it respectfully. Like you did that with your client. I hear you and I understand you're upset. I validate, you know, your concerns. Setting boundaries doesn't need to be about being witchy about it. Like you just, you don't have to be mean to the other person. You can hear them. You can be respectful. You can be understanding. And at the same time, I can't, or I need to say, no, this is important to me.
But I will tell you, my initial reaction was, I was a little miffed. And then I took a beat and I didn't want to be miffed when I responded. So
you were smart.
Well, again, the important thing was, though, in your case, was you have to take that step back and say, why? Why did she think it was okay to text me on a Saturday morning? Once you realize that, now you know in the future how to make that not be something that somebody is going to say, it's okay for me to do this.
And I'll tell you what, if I came to you as a new client and we came to an understanding of what you were going to do for me moving forward legally, I would respect you if you said to me, now listen, I realize what you're going through. It's important. It's challenging. I am here. I am on your side. I'm here to help you. If you have an emergency, text me. Don't even think twice about it. Anything else, give my office a call Monday morning, and we will get to it as soon as we possibly can.
And then, right when she's done, right when you're done with that, tell them to buy your audiobook.
Yeah, I know. I should.
When you're having difficulties, buy my book.
That's right. And listen to that.
Divorce boss.
But your Positively Divorced course. But you're 100% right. And that's typically what we do. And I make sure that all the clients have our cell phone numbers, and you can pretty much set the boundaries early on. Because another thing that happens in life, not just in my office, to anybody who's listening, sometimes my definition of emergency does not match your definition of emergency. And so we have to get on the same page there. The fourth one is, it's kind of along the same line. Stay firm. Don't be apologetic when your answer is no. And the reason for that is you're not doing anything wrong. When you set a boundary, you're not doing anything wrong. So you don't have anything to apologize for, which makes perfect sense. Right?
And if you feel the need to apologize, then obviously there's an issue with the other person because they're trying to make you feel guilty.
That's another good point. Number five, be short and confident in your no. Now, this reminds me of you, Frank and Barry, because off the air, we were talking about sometimes when we don't want to do something, we'll come up with a flowery excuse that might not be exactly 100% on point.
Right, trying not to say hurt people's feelings when actually in my particular case, there's one particular situation where I just don't want to. You know, it's an invite to something, and I just don't want to go because I prefer going home. I like my regular schedule. I like my day the way it is. I like my nights ending the way they do.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, if it comes to driving an extra 40 or 50 miles for my day, I don't want to do it.
And sometimes instead of saying, I just don't feel like hanging out with you, you'll say something like, my dog is sick or something like that.
Making up something, yes.
But I think I am a fan of, and I get where you're coming from, I am a fan of being honest, but keeping it very short and sweet, like, sorry, I can't. Like, just sorry, I can't. Not, I can't because.
I admit that would be hard for me.
Really?
Oh.
You should try it.
I'm going to practice.
Yeah. Sorry I can't without saying why you can't. Because it's really nobody's business why you can't. And if the can is because I don't want to, well,
you know what?
That's
fine too. I can't agree with you.
Number six, be clear about what you...
See, she set a boundary right there. That was an unspoken boundary. Boom, girlfriend, you're done.
But that was awesome because it worked because we just moved right on.
Yeah, you did.
Be clear about what yes means. This one says, if you know what you want to say yes to, it becomes easier to say no. I'm not quite sure I follow that.
That's about knowing what's important to you. That's like priority setting, what's important in your life. Here's a good analogy, I think. It's like cleaning out your closet, right? Like, it's such a great feeling when you go through, it is for me at least, when I go through all these clothes, I haven't worn them in a while, and I'm like, I get rid of them, and then what's left are all my favorite things.
Oh, I love that.
And I think we can look at setting boundaries in a very similar way. When we really know what we want to do with our lives, how we want to be, who we want to be with our lives, we know what's important and priority, we can start throwing away the old stuff, or the stuff doesn't serve that.
And pretty easily, too.
Once you're clear. Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, getting clear is the key to life. It is the key to life for everything. Number seven, this isn't it. Oops.
That was my head.
Banging against the microphone.
That was so incredibly graceful. It really was.
So here's an interesting acronym. It says implement ASSA.
Uh-oh.
ASSA. And ASSA stands for...
I'm a little nervous to hear it.
I know. It stands for alert the individual that you need to talk to them. S is state your issue by revealing to the person what the problem is. Tell them why it's an issue. See, this is way too much information already.
Yeah.
Another S is sell the advantages to them for acting better towards you. For example, you will seem professional. Like if somebody was bashing a boundary at work, say... One of the reasons why you shouldn't do that is you'll seem more professional if you don't. And the last A is agree. Seek agreement for doing things differently in the future. I think that's a little much.
I've already forgotten what you started with.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think that's a little much. But the first six, I think, made a lot of sense. So there's your seven ways to set a boundary without being too mean.
All right. If you happen to miss the interview with Ann Quinn on setting guilt-free boundaries, you can listen to this show on a podcast at k104online.com/happyhour. You can also go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast there as Happy Hour with Jonna, J-O-N-N-A, and Carol, K-E-R-Y-L.
And because we are heading into Christmas week here, I just want to give a big thumbs up to a guy out in Fort Collins, Colorado, who for the past 10 years has walked into a Goodwill store at some time before the holidays, and he has bought every toy in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And the staff hands them out, or the kids get to pick a free toy, whoever is in the store and whoever comes in for the entire
day.
He buys all the toys in the store.
So they're prepaid.
They're prepaid.
And then everybody gets a free toy that day.
Every kid that comes into the store gets a free toy. So he did it, one, he did it the first year, but they have made it a regular thing every year since. So they know when the day is coming. They actually, the employees make sure that they stock up on some extra toys so nobody goes home disappointed. And then basically everybody that walks in for the day, they get themselves a free toy. It's not advertised. So you don't know this walking off the street, but when you walk in the door, you find out. So that is what the holidays are all about. So for him, for the last 10 years, kudos to you, my friend, and Merry Christmas.
You know, sometimes I'm reminded that I do actually love people.
even with a little bit of a grimace.
Yes.
Did that hurt? That looked like it hurt a little bit.
It did, right? Stung.
All right. Well, listen, ladies, thank you very much. And for everybody that is gearing up for the holidays, good luck to you.
Set your boundaries, but be nice.
Yeah, be nice about it.
Yeah, that's all we ask. This has been Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. Thanks for tuning in. It's K104.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.